Okay. This is Sweet Georgia Brown.
Thank you.
was Oscar Peterson. What happened? Something unusual happened. I just booted my computer. I just booted Windows on my old iMac, and it rebooted, so it must have crashed and rebooted. Something happened. Never happens. Anyway, it happened this time, but it never happens. So 1977, it says that this concert was performed by Oscar Peterson with the two bass players, Niels Henning Pedersen and Ray Brown. That's the one right there. It's in this mix, but it wasn't in a mix, though. It was just, it was on this channel. Art Liqueur Gallery. That's the channel on YouTube. Okay, so that's enough of that for now. It's October 23rd, 2022. 12:52 hours, Ward Green here. A new package has come in. Let me just try to resize here. Hang on a second here. Let's see. That should do that. Resizing. Now let's just see. Got a new package. Unboxing. Un secundo. Okay. Un momento. What do we got? We got a box. So I smell the leather. It's real leather. I smell it. It's beautiful. Oh, yeah. And this is what I really wanted to see. Tea tree oil. And in addition to the leather, I want to see both of those things in here. My tea tree oil looks like it's Thursday Plantation. The same as what I have had before. It's this company, Thursday Plantation, that makes... They have good products, but also these are bigger bottles, right? Much larger bottles of tea tree oil. Two of them. So yeah, I don't know if I need to open that. I guess I do, because they're going to roll on the... They're in bubble wrap. It's always not... It won't stand up. I got to get it up. It won't stand on the table, right? It's in bubble wrap. Okay, here we go. There's one. I haven't even read it myself. Looks like tea tree. I can see that. This is 100 mils, 100 milliliters. That's a good, nice, it's a round number. That's good. Makes it easy for bookkeeping, for calculations. Anyway, it's called antiseptic, right? Tea tree essential oil antiseptic. We know it's antiseptic. It kills almost all fungus and all bacteria. 100 milliliters, I got two of them. Excellent stuff. We're going to put this somewhere on my table here, I guess, for now. I got to put it somewhere where it's not going to fall on the floor. My concern, I don't want it to fall on the floor, so I'm going to put it further back out of my way here. Is that a good place for it? What's that? Well, look, I have these little furniture bumpers. So this is the other thing that came with it. This is the leather. Just like it looked, it's the same as it looked like in the picture, maybe a little darker even, as it looked when it looked in the picture, which is good. I like the color. It's sort of orange color. It's beautiful cowhide, I think is what it is. But let's just put the box away here. It's in my way. I think I want to go out. Absolutely perfect day outside. Perfect weather out there for doing work. I got to get the heat on here. It's cold enough in here that it needs a little bit of heat, but it's just beautiful outside. It's going to be really warm. I don't want to go to the mail today because I think there's a package coming to the post office from the nutrition place. So that's my gum and whatever else I ordered from them. What did I order from them? Well, I got some mails. Yeah, that's the fact that it was delivered. Okay, that's this package. Okay, that's going to go archive. Now, what else? My order from National Nutrition. And they are... It's the white clay, the kale and clay. I want to pick that up. And that might be... With the gum, it might be a small enough box, though, that I can actually carry it in my backpack. But I'm thinking I might want to go out. I will. I'll want to go shopping because I'll want to get some other stuff while I'm out. I'll want to get some... I'll want to get some food, you know, just very... My food bill for the month up till now has been $376, but I will be on average for these 10 months, $376 a month. So if I go and buy another $10 or so worth of stuff like pineapples or some a pineapple and some romaine lettuce, I don't know what I'll buy. But that will raise it up to 386. It'll be approaching 400. But anyway, I'm not sure what's going to happen. But I'm around 400 a month for food. The heating was 210. That's right. The heat for last month was 210, which is that's really pretty good. You know, that's for this time of year though. That's what I expect. That's what anyone expects. Is there's not much heating going on. Not much cooling nor heating, so 210 is still, you know, it's just a very small amount of money, I guess, it compared to the maximum I ever pay per month. I was paying $265 a month or something in the summer. Where is this? If I got this back, where is it? Where are you? There you are. There it is, yeah. So this is the leather thing that just arrived. I need to put the plastic garbage... Oh, wait, I can't wait to do that. I gotta throw that out. Okay, that's in the garbage. Here it is. This is the leather thing that came, right? Looks like it's in reasonably good condition. To me, looks good. It's got straps at the back. And you can sort of just throw it over your shoulder, like put your arms in it like this, I think. And put your and throw it, you know. I don't know what you do, how you do this anyway. Oh, it attaches. The Velcro closes at the back of the neck, I guess. And this goes on. Somebody said that they were putting it on without, because these buckles are going to be hard to do at the back, right? But somebody was saying that it had great reviews. Like, it's just that. Some people complained about being able to get it on. That's the problem. So you have to be able to figure that out. You have to be able to figure it out somehow how to get it on without... I mean, can I put my head... Can I just go like that and put it on? Probably not, because this isn't big enough. But I can undo these straps. But then whether I can get them back done up again is another question. You don't actually have to do the back up, I guess, but... Probably, there it is. So, ooh, it's small. What is it? Did it have more than one size? Of course, I'm wearing a jacket. Seems small. Yeah, it's smaller than I thought it was going to be. I could have got an extra large. That's what I should have got. Maybe, but... That's strange. Yeah. I never would have figured out that I needed an extra large. The cuffs are good, though. It's a good length. because they're not going to get in the way. Not that, I mean, I'll be wearing big gloves anyway, so the cuffs probably don't matter that much, but I'll just snap them shut. But the cuffs are a good length. That might come in handy at some point. I mean, I can't close it. Hang on. There we go. Okay, so didn't have the snap aligned properly. But there you see, that's my new welding jacket. Yeah, I think, I don't know, maybe it'll stretch a little bit, too, possibly. And the neck is done up, too. It's done up at the back, so protects the neck. That's good because you don't want hot stuff getting down inside your shirt. So, I mean, that's the idea, right? That's the idea. And then I've just got to figure out, it's probably good enough. I don't have to do up the back. It can just be like this. Why bother? It doesn't have to be attached at the back. There's no benefit. But I can figure out what I'm going to do at the back. Just feels so tight. But I'm wearing a jacket under it, right? I'm wearing this jacket under it. When I'm working, I'll be pretty warm in the wintertime. I can have a small heater. My new dehumidifier seems to have a heater built into it, which is good. And because it has this little flame symbol. And also, one of the old dehumidifiers, not both of them, but one of the older ones also has this heater, I think, built in. So I might have two heaters that are two electric. They're electric heaters. It's not going to work if the power is out. But of course, neither would I be able to weld if the power was out. So that's fine. But I've got in the winter, my basement, it never gets below 50 degrees because that's the temperature of the earth. It never gets below that. So that's because even in the winter, the earth's 50 degrees. It's not going to get below 50. Believe it or not, even when it's 30 below outside, it won't be below 50 in the basement. Or not much anyway, you know. But I mean, like 1 degree maybe at the most. I don't know how. I just don't believe it'll ever get below 50 permanently. Personally, ever. It can't. It's not possible. There's just too much of a heat sink. The earth is too big of a heat sink. So I'm never going to be concerned about that. I didn't realize it until just last year, basically. After 65 years of life, I realized the earth is affecting my basement. I knew the earth was always 50, but also near the surface it gets cold, surface of the earth, but 4 feet down it's like, you know, 50 degrees. So the thing is, but it's probably a little colder than 50. It's got to be in the coldest possible weather, because that's why they have the frost gets below 4 feet, you know. But the foundation always goes below the frost line, right? So it's not going to be, but if it's possible it could get below 50. It's just my basement's never been below 50 because I always do something to heat the house, partly, but the basement's never below 50. Last year it never was, which is it was a complete epiphany, a revelation for me. So knowing that, this is going to keep me warm at 50 degrees. I'm warm. I don't even need a jacket under this. It seems a little cramped right here. It's a little too tight, but I guess in a way you don't want to have any loose stuff when you're welding either. You don't want to have it be extra baggy. I don't know, but it's supposed to be. The seams for the shoulders are good. Like that's where it should be. That's the seam. And there's the seam for that shoulder. They're right where they should be. It's a little bit, you know, tighter in the chest than I would have thought. But what do I know? I don't know anything about that. What if this were open? If that's open, I don't even need to close the neck. It's still going to do the job. It closes itself. Anyway, but guess how low it goes? It doesn't go down as low as I thought. I thought it went, yeah, I was under the impression it goes down to the floor or something. It's got a nice pocket. I was under, you know, I was under the impression it went a lot further down, but it goes down to the knees pretty well. Right, you know. down to the knees, just about, almost to the knees. So whatever pants I'm wearing are going to be susceptible, maybe, to getting some spark damage or whatever, fire damage. So that is necessary that I knew that. But this, the advantage of having this leather thing, it was like $47, okay? That wasn't with tax. That's before tax, but whatever. $47, that's a good deal for leather. It's real leather. You know, it's real leather. You can smell it. It's real leather, beautiful stuff. So that's one problem solved, because I'll never have to worry about what shirt I'm wearing. If I want to do welding, I can just put this on. The thing I will have to worry about still is the pants. But I can get chaps for my legs if I want. But I've got the chaps for my shoes on the way, on order. Got to get chaps maybe for my legs or something. Or what else can I do? I just need to have the right kind of pants. I'll probably have to get some new pants anyway for working. I'll have to get some more work pants because I don't have anything for working. And my old pants are finally wearing out after like 40 years or whatever. More than 40, I don't know, 30 years anyway of having corduroy work pants. They don't last for forever, and I'm starting to patch them in earnest right now. So I don't know how long they're going to last, but I could even patch them up for a while. So those pants will probably do me. But when you have money, you want to buy good stuff. You want to buy new stuff. You don't want to be using old rags for clothes if you've got money. So I'll probably think about, I'll definitely think about buying new pants, for new work pants. The difference is today, nowadays, what's available is unbelievable compared to what used to be available. I mean, we would, if we wanted, I lived in a small town, so if we wanted to buy clothing, we had to go to there was one store, basically one store, maybe two stores at the most, that we could go to shop for clothing or shoes, or one store for shoes, maybe two stores for clothing, if that. But we had no options, and unless we wanted to drive 30 miles to get some more options, which we did do sometimes, obviously, but... Or we'd go to Ottawa sometimes. That was like 3 hours, and we'd get some more options. 4 hours, actually, back in those days. To get here to Ottawa from Deep River was like 4 hours. We would drive that once a year kind of thing. At least our family. I didn't drive. I was too young. But we didn't have any... up until I was 16, anyway, I didn't drive. But I didn't have a car either. So, you know, back in those days. So... I didn't go to Ottawa back in those days. I didn't go to Pembroke, which was the 30-minute drive. I didn't go anywhere, and we had no options. Now, with the internet, I mean, the funny thing is nowadays we don't even know what the options are. Like, it's not just Amazon. There's so many options. I'm ordering from Patagonia, which is a giant supplier or worldwide, I don't even know what to say. I can't even get the words out. They're a giant manufacturer who makes environmentally friendly clothing for the whole world, basically for outdoors and survival clothing. It's phenomenal, and they're like the lowest carbon footprint is their kind of motto. I mean, they're unbelievable, and it's Patagonia. But Arc'teryx is pretty similar. Maybe they don't try to have quite as low of a carbon footprint, but the quality of their clothes is unbelievable. And then there's Mountain Hardware, another company that's just unbelievably great. Marmot is another one, and there's... Of course, there's North Face. I don't know if they're... I don't think they're on the same level as these other guys are, but they're still... They're pretty good. You know, there's a lot of good clothing companies out there. There's MEC, Mountain Equipment Corporation in Canada. Unbelievable place to shop for clothes. Unbelievable. And they have their own brand, but they also carry other brands. And their prices are pretty amazing. I'm wearing their fleece pants right now. I've been wearing them for years. Probably cost me maybe $60 for these pants compared to $200 I paid for the Patagonia pants that are fleece pants that are coming. So now I don't doubt that the Patagonia are going to be a little bit better in quality, in some ways, in many ways probably, but it better be for $200, right? So, but the thing is, I don't buy that very often. I might buy one pair of those pants every 10 years or something like that. I don't know, you know, if that, maybe every 20 years if it lasts, if I can get them to last 20 years, maybe 15 years, I don't know. So, I mean, $200 might be a good deal if it's really, if it really keeps me warm, if they really, really work well. What's wrong with this hat? Why is it so wrong on one side? Something wrong. Okay, here we go. Let's see. It seems like it's lopsided somehow. Right? It's just out of kilter. Something is wrong. Yeah, askew. Askew, as they say, right? It's another way of putting it. Okay, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel right either. But it doesn't feel right because it doesn't look right. There we go. I don't know. Okay. So this is October 23rd. We're going to do the 23rd Psalm. I mean, this is exciting. I got the tea tree oil now, so I just need the kaolite clay now and the kaolin clay. Kaolin clay. While I'm looking at this, or while I'm thinking about this, I mean, let me look at my order for the kale and clay. Oh, they don't give me the summary. Okay. It's here somewhere. I think it's this $118 order. No, that was that one, the one that came in today. $118. That's what came in today. The $233 is the other one. No, that's okay. That's the something else. It's what is it? It was the Machete actually. But oh, anyway, let me see what I got here. Well, those are my boots, right? The other order, it already came in. It's in my archives. Okay, so that's why I can't find it. It's in the archives, right? So look in the archives. And $68 might be the one. That sounds like it is. Yes. But I need to find the origin of that order. Order info. That's just part of it. Inbox. It's down here, I guess. No, that's order that still hasn't come in. Is it this one? Probably this is it. Right. No, that's the part that was delivered, but oh, here it is. Here it is. Okay, it's a separate order. Yeah, this is the one. So this is the whole order then. So the clay, when it comes in, I'll have everything then, I think. I mean, this is because I have the rose geranium oil, and I have the aloe vera powder. I have the arrowroot powder, aloe vera and arrowroot, and I have the black walnut hull powder. So I have everything. Yeah, that's all there was. I believe that's it. So we're doing pretty good then in that sense, I think. We're doing well. So to do with the powder, all I need is the kaolin clay, which is coming in with from a different place, because Amazon's going to be too slow for me to actually make the powder if I want to make it right away. So, plus, I just don't know if that other order is ever going to come in, because, I mean, it's so long. It's such a long wait that I'm not going to put any particular excessive faith in that particular order. It'll probably come in. They almost always do, but because it's delayed, in case I lose track of it and I forget to check whether it came in, I just want to make sure I have another order of that from a different manufacturer coming in from a different company as well, from a different source, a different seller. And that way, it doesn't guarantee it, but it makes it a lot more likely that I'll have that. It's more of a guarantee, right, that I'm going to actually get that something is shining. There we go. What can I do with that? What can I do about this? Maybe I can close. I want to have some light on my face, but let's see if I close that. Does that help? Well, that's too dark. Doesn't really help either with the reflections that are there. Let's just go. That's that better? Might be a little better, but I need to get this other one back. We want to get some light on my face a little bit. Okay. So we have that. We got it delivered. Today's delivery came in. That was the one that I'm aware of. It was scheduled to come in. I've got some work to do outside in the garden. With the chainsaw, probably, and I could cut the lawn, but if I cut the lawn, I can't go to the store and pick up my mail. The thing is, I mean, I can, but it's a waste of effort if I could do it all in one day when the package arrives. So if I'm looking at this weather, well, now they're saying we might have 3 more days of good weather. It's supposed to rain on Wednesday. But then there's supposed to be, oh my God, then there's supposed to be 4 more days of good weather with 10 degrees. So those are the days I should be going out and cutting the lawn and picking up packages and stuff and getting groceries, if I can wait that long. I've got apples. I have fresh apples. I don't have the pineapple anymore. So I've got lettuce and apples. So I can stretch it. But I like to have my yogurt with fresh fruit. It's really important. But actually, I can eat the yogurt plain, and I can, if I don't eat the fruit, it's better for trying to lose weight too, if I don't have the sugar in the fruit. The fructose is what is killing us as far as putting on weight. So there we go. It's like Tuesday, up until Tuesday so far looks good weather, but just too warm to work really hard work. It's room temperature out there. It's like standard room temperature outside. It's perfect weather for anything that's not heavy exertion. But when you get into, if I'm going to be doing anything that's working up a sweat, I want it to be 10 degrees out there. Not, and if it's really heavy work, I want it to be 1 degree out there. That's the perfect weather. When I was doing my front walk, just laying these big patio stones in my front walk, because they had been taken away when they did this foundation sealing. They sealed up the foundation with a membrane. But when they put, they didn't put the stones back for my front walk. I did all that. But I did anything that had to be done like that. They moved the stones away, I guess, for me, but then I had to put them back. But I did that work in my sandals in 1 degree Celsius, and probably I wore a jacket. Obviously it was cold, but because it's such heavy work, I only had to wear a fairly light jacket, because it's such, lifting these concrete patio stones that are like 2 feet by 2 feet or whatever they are. They're heavy enough that you start to sweat if there's any kind of warm weather, or you're wearing clothing that's too warm. So, and my sandals were, I was not bare feet, but I had, but my feet got cold after a while in 1 degree Celsius. But it was the perfect temperature I could just go inside. I just went in, when my feet were cold, I could just go in the house. I didn't work long hours. I just went out there, moved a few stones and put them in place and worked on you know, you have to level the ground to put the stones in. You know, it's kind of tricky. It's painstaking work, so you don't want to be, you can't do it really fast, but it's, you don't want to work, you can't work when it's below zero because the ground would be frozen, you know, whatever. You can't do stuff like that when it's frozen. But it was the perfect temperature for lifting heavy things at my feet. My feet won't freeze. It's not cold enough to freeze my feet, so it actually is not bad. That's the thing. As long as it's above freezing, your feet won't freeze. So they might get cold, but they're not going to freeze. So you can come in if your feet are cold, you know. You can come in the house, warm up, go back out. So that's basically what I did, and I didn't have to come in the house very much. I mean, I didn't really stay out working long hours, so it was fine. But I just remember doing that. I'll never forget that because that taught me what the temperature should be for working. I never knew that before. It's so simple. Anything above freezing is good, right, for heavy work, as long as it's not much above 10 degrees, you know. Like, I mean, 14 degrees you'd think would be fine, but it's not. It's too warm for heavy work, 14 degrees, right? It's just, for really heavy work, it's just not going to work at all. It won't cut it, as we say. So, Jehovah is my shepherd, a melody of David. Little children, Psalm 23, a melody of David. This is a very well-known psalm. Let's ask Jehovah. Father, help us today as other days to remain in your love and to be humble in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. In grassy pastures he makes me lie down. By well-watered resting places he conducts me. My soul he refreshes. He leads me in the tracks of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the valley of deep shadow, I fear nothing bad. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff are the things that comfort me. You arrange before me a table in front of those showing hostility to me. With oil you have greased my head. My cup is well filled. Surely goodness and loving kindness themselves will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Jehovah to the length of days. That was the shortest psalm that I've almost, I thought it was far longer than that, Psalm 23. That was far shorter than I really believed it was. It was far shorter. I mean, like about three times or four times shorter than I thought. This is the 23rd Psalm, the one that's so famous. You know, the shadow of the valley of death. You know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and my cup overflows, right? And those are the things, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Those are the famous parts of that. And I fear nothing bad, you know. I shall fear no evil. Those are the famous lines. For you are with me. Those are the famous lines in this psalm. Jehovah is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's another famous line. I shall not want. I shall lack nothing. Oh, yeah. Those are, that's the most famous part of all, probably. Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, but it's so well known, this psalm, and for good reason. It is a beautiful psalm. It's not without reason that it is well known. But there are equally beautiful psalms, as we've already been finding. I mean, there's no reason to prefer this psalm. It's just that it's written more, in third person, where there's a narrator saying, Jehovah's my shepherd. He does this, instead of saying, you, Jehovah, are my shepherd. You do. It's different. It's written in a different person. It's a narrative talking about Jehovah in the third person. He is my shepherd. Not you are my shepherd. That should be second person. It's called third person. Jehovah is my shepherd. David, the psalmist, or we, if we're praying with David, we're referring to Jehovah here as a third person in the narrative. We're telling someone about this third person. That's why it's called third person. Which is unusual. We don't usually do it. We don't usually pray in that way. We usually say, Jehovah, you are my shepherd. You are doing this. You are doing this. You know, I want you to do this. Please help me here. And it's just saying, you know, or may I dwell, Jehovah, let me dwell in your house to the length of days would be one way to pray in second person, but this is third person. I will dwell in the house of Jehovah to the length of days. But we know there's no future tense in Hebrew. There is no future. There's no past. And there's no future. Didn't we say that? There's only perfect and imperfect. It's either I am dwelling, incomplete, or perfect, you know. I finished dwelling. Like I'm either done dwelling or I am currently dwelling. There's only perfect and imperfect. Either the imperfect, I'm still doing it, or the perfect, I'm done with doing it. Perfect and imperfect, that's all there is in Hebrew. There's no past, present, and future. So where it says, I will dwell in the house of Jehovah, it's just saying, I am dwelling in the house of Jehovah. That's all it's saying. It's not perfect yet. It's not finished. I'm not done dwelling. Can't be perfect. It's not like I have dwelt. But if it's a prophecy, though, it's got to be perfect. Doesn't it? Let me think. Yeah, it is. Maybe it is. Maybe it is perfect. Maybe it's saying I have dwelt in the house of Jehovah. If it's perfect, I don't know, because we're not reading it in Hebrew. I don't know what the Hebrew perfect would be anyway. I'd have to research this. It's a prophecy. It's saying I will dwell, therefore it must be perfect. Only perfect can be prophecy. Can't be imperfect. In other words, it's not quite finished yet. That's not prophecy. It's got to be finished to be prophecy. It has to be set in stone. It has to, you know, in a sense, in the sense of fixed in permanency. For it to be prophecy, it has to be perfect in the perfect tense, the verb tense we're talking about, the verb tense. Dwelling, I will dwell, or I have dwelt. So it's the same as saying, I have dwelt in the house of Jehovah to the length of days. It's the same statement. It's a prophecy in the future also, but it's in the present too. It's perfect, you know, I have dwelt up until now. I have dwelt in the past, and I will dwell in the future. It means all of those things. That's what it is. Okay, so, I mean, we'll have to just keep learning, because there's so much to learn about the Bible. It's just enormous in that way. So, Isaiah chapter 3? How long is this one? A long one? No, it's okay. Some of the Isaiah books are pretty long. This is not too long, I think, but anyway. 26 verses. Isaiah chapter 3. For look, the true Lord, Jehovah of armies, is removing from Jerusalem and from Judah support and stay, the whole support of bread and the whole support of water, mighty man and warrior, judge and prophet, and practicer of divination, and elderly man, chief of 50, and highly respected man and counselor and expert in magical arts and the skilled charmer. and I shall certainly make boys their princes, and mere arbitrary power will rule over them, and the people will actually tyrannize one over the other, even each one over his fellow man. They will storm, the boy against the old man, and the lightly esteemed one against the one to be honored. For each one will lay hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, "You have a mantle, a dictator, you ought to become to us, and this overthrown mass should be under your hand." He will raise his voice in that day, saying, "I shall not become a wound dresser, and in my house there is neither bread nor a mantle. You men must not set me as dictator over the people, for Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah itself has fallen, because their tongue and their dealings are against Jehovah in behaving rebelliously in the eyes of his glory. The very expression of their faces actually testifies against them and of their sin, like that of Sodom, they do tell. They have not hidden it. Woe to their soul, for they have dealt out to themselves calamity. Say, you men, that it will be well with the righteous one, for they will eat the very fruitage of their dealings. Woe to the wicked one, calamity, for the treatment rendered by his own hands will be rendered to him. As for my people, its task assigners are dealing severely, and mere women actually rule over it. O my people, those leading you on are causing you to wander, and the way of your paths they have confused. Jehovah is stationing himself to contend and is standing up to pass sentence upon peoples. Jehovah himself will enter into judgment with the elderly ones of his people and its princes. And you yourselves have burned down the vineyard. What was taken by robbery from the afflicted one is in your houses. What do you men mean in that you crush my people? And that you grind the very faces of the afflicted ones is the utterance of the sovereign Lord, Jehovah of armies. And Jehovah says, for the reason that the daughters of Zion have become haughty, and they walk with their throats stretched forth, and ogling with their eyes, they go walking with tripping steps, and with their feet they make a tinkling sound. Jehovah also will actually make the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion scabby, and Jehovah himself will lay their very forehead bare. In that day Jehovah will take away the beauty of the bangles, and the headbands, and the moon-shaped ornaments, the eardrops and the bracelets and the veils, the headdresses and the step chains and the breastbands and the houses of the soul and the ornamental humming shells, the finger rings and the nose rings, the robes of state and the over tunics and the cloaks and the purses and the hand mirrors and the undergarments and the turbans and the large veils. And it must occur that instead of balsam oil there will come to be merely a musty smell, and instead of a belt, a rope, and instead of an artistic hair arrangement, baldness, and instead of a rich garment, a girding of sackcloth, a brand mark instead of prettiness. By the sword your own men will fall, and your mightiness by war, and her entrances will have to mourn and express sorrow, and she will certainly be cleaned out. She will sit down on the very earth. Isaiah chapter 3. Instead of a belt, a rope. Well, I'm sure many people have used a rope for a belt in a pinch when their belt wasn't available. This is very interesting. The noteworthy thing, it says, you have a mantle. Speaking of a mantle, I just put on this leather thing that arrived today. That was that not like a mantle? A lot like a mantle. I mean, if that's not a mantle, I don't know what is. And this is what it says. You have a mantle, a dictator you ought to become to us, And what did he say? I shall not become a wound dresser. And in my house there is neither bread nor a mantle. And I don't eat bread either. Done away with flour as an idea. It's not true. I guess I do have flour. I still have flour. I just haven't used it for a long time right now. Or quite a long time. But I will make bread. Probably. I don't have bread in the house, but I will make bread on occasion. Even if just unleavened bread, I will make bread of some kind. But maybe I'll make leavened bread sometimes as well. Not on the Memorial Day, not for the memorial. It will be unleavened bread for that. Let's look at, that was interesting. That was talking about what will happen to Israel in Isaiah when in chapter 1 we saw how Jehovah was judging the Israelites, the nation of Israel. So let's carry on. He was judging them, and that was going to be what was going to happen to them in Isaiah chapter 3. So should we do John, or should we just this is a long one, but it's fairly long. Yeah, well, I think we can look at it, but I'm not sure if I want to do that right now. I've talked for an hour. I'm going to terminate this study right now, actually, for now. We'll come back to continue our study at some later time. I will be wanting to go outside to do some work outside. Oh, I know what the problem is here, too. Part of it is this. It doesn't make a big difference. I need to get breakfast. I have to get ready to work. I have to figure things out. The day is passing quickly. That's remarkable about the mantle. And then this chapter 3 of John is... John is so replete, full with... and replete with... precious... events from Jesus' life that were not contained in the other Gospels. That's why it's so interesting. So every chapter of John will be something of significant interest, and this one is no exception. It's talking about the born again, idea of being born again in this chapter, what it means to be born again. It covers that. So that's just something to look forward to. If, and of course, for those of us who have been born again, it's something we can look back at as well. Oh. But in a sense, we can continue to be reborn every day by renewing our spirit every day. So it's in the Christian faith, it's possible to be born again every day. It's not something, well, you're born again once and then you're never born again. That's just not the way it is. Because, you know, every day should be exciting. It shouldn't be, well, I did that already. You know, that's not what Christianity is about. It's not like that at all. It's this exciting thing of sharing the message of good news. But we're learning the message every day, too. And we're learning more things we can share. It's phenomenal, but I mean, there's more in this chapter. I haven't even read it. Right. Oh, this is talking about Jesus doing baptizing, right? Oh, this is the famous John 3:16. For God so loved the world, right? That's that famous. Talking about the ransom sacrifice. But from the viewpoint of God's love, God gave the ransom out of love, for mankind, not just for his people, but for mankind.
that for all mankind, he loved the world. The whole world is God loved. That's why he sent his son. He gave his son as a sacrifice. And then there was John, who was questioned about Jesus. We'll see that as well, if we read that right now or if we read it later. He comes from... Right, okay. I like this, the measure in verse 34. He doesn't give the Spirit by measure. I was just thinking of that. It's probably because I knew we were coming to it in my memory. Somehow my subconscious knew this. I was thinking about this, the by measure, giving things by measure. I thought of that yesterday. It's not right to give things by measure. In other words, we should give limitlessly. We give limitlessly. We don't put a limit on how much we give. That is very, very good. I mean, it's so true. If we put a limit on how much we give, it limits us in how much we can receive in our lives. It completely stifles our spirit. It ruins our spirit. God does not give the Spirit by measure. So, having said that, I do want to get some things done today, and I think I have to. I will be back soon, whether it's tomorrow or later today. But for now, that's all I can give. I think right now, I'm not giving it by measure. I'm giving all I can. Right, I'm giving as much as I can. October 23rd, 2022, 13:42 hours. Ward Green saying, "I love you. Bye for now."